Last night, I decided that I couldn't this morning go through with what I had planned on Thessalonians. There's too much going on in our country today, and I thought it would be good to take some time as a congregation to reflect on what's happening and what God might be saying to us. So I'd like to spend the next 20 minutes or so just thinking with you from God's Word, primarily, about the issue of the refugee and the alien. I would like us to listen to what God has to say about those who are refugees, who are widows, who are fatherless, who are oppressed. I'd like us to listen to God, to look into our own hearts, to say what's in our own hearts and minds, and especially to pray together for the refugee, for the widow, for the orphan, and the fatherless, those who've been uprooted because of war and famine. I would like us this morning to be free to say and to think what we believe. If you are seething this morning about the executive order on immigration, you should feel safe here to say that. If you are supportive of that order or any part of it, you should feel safe here to say so. If you don't know what to think, you should feel safe here to say so. As we go through our time together this morning, I also want to be really clear about this. We are not talking about our new administration or political parties. We're not talking about illegal immigration or the wall. We're only talking about those who have legal visas to come to the United States for all kinds of reasons, some of whom are refugees, and particularly those who come from seven countries: Iraq, Syria, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Yemen. And very specifically, we are talking about those displaced because of war and or drought and famine, who either have visas to come to the United States or are seeking them. I repeat, we want to listen to God today. We want to look into our own hearts. We want to be able to express what's on our hearts and minds and pray together for those in our world who are so desperate and so alone. And as I was thinking about this, I thought back to our series on the book of Ruth of just a few months ago. And I remembered the piece of film that we saw where Boaz welcomes Ruth. And I wanted to show that again to introduce our time this morning. And I want you to remember that, as I said in those sermons a couple of times, Moab was an enemy country of Israel. If there had been an executive order at that time, Moab would have been on the list. So just take a moment and watch how Boaz, the Israelite, relates to Ruth, the Moabitess. Listen to words of God as it pertains to this topic. From Exodus 22, "Do not mistreat an alien or oppress him, for you were aliens in Egypt. Do not take advantage of a widow or an orphan. If you do and they cry out to me, I will certainly hear their cry. My anger will be aroused, and I will kill you with the sword. Your wives will become widows, and your children fatherless." And from Leviticus 19, "When an alien lives with you in your land, do not mistreat him. The alien living with you must be treated as one of your native born. Love him as yourself, for you were aliens in Egypt. I am the Lord, your God." Leviticus 24, "You are to have the same law for the alien and the native born. I am the Lord, your God." From Deuteronomy 10, For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing. And you are to love those who are aliens, for you yourselves were aliens in Egypt. And from Deuteronomy 24, when you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat the olives from your trees, do not go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. That is why I command you to do this. Deuteronomy 27. Cursed is the man who withholds justice from the alien, the fatherless, or the widow. Then all the people shall say, Amen. From Isaiah 1. Learn to do right, seek justice, encourage the oppressed, defend the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. And from Isaiah 10. Woe to those who make unjust laws, to those who issue oppressive decrees, to deprive the poor of their rights and withhold justice from the oppressed of my people, making widows their prey and robbing the fatherless. And from Jeremiah 22, this is what the Lord says, do what is just and right. Rescue from the hand of his oppressor the one who has been robbed. Do no wrong or violence to the alien, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place. And from Matthew 25, words of Jesus. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. And from James chapter 1, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after the orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And I'd like to invite you now to a moment of reflection, and to do that by, again, watching a piece of video, listen to the music. The topic of the video will become immediately clear to you. So just be quiet and open your hearts to what the Lord might have to say to you at this moment. I'd like you to, and I know this may be really scary for some of you, but just to get in little groups of 3, 4, 5, or 6. And if you really can't do it, feel free not to. But just turn around and join in a little group, again, of 4 to 6, 7 is fine, 3 is fine also. And just spend 5, 6, 7 minutes maybe, praying if you want, being silent if you want. There's something you want to say, want to express yourself, please feel free to do that. I just want to give you a chance to, as a congregation, as God's family here, to reflect together, and especially to pray. The best thing would be if we just prayed in our groups for these people that are suffering so much, and that God would bring about his justice. Again, I know this is scary for some of you. Please don't feel forced to do it. But if you can, just find a little group, and we'll spend about 5 to 6 minutes in prayer. Okay? Go ahead. I wanted to read a poem by British children's author Nicola Davies. Wrote this poem in response to a decision by the government of the United Kingdom not to allow lone refugee children a safe haven in the UK. The poem is called The Day the War Came. The day war came, there were flowers on the windowsill, and my father sang my baby brother back to sleep. My mother made my breakfast, kissed my nose, and walked with me to school. That morning I learned about volcanoes. I sang a song about how tadpoles turn at last to frogs. I made a picture of myself with wings. Then, just after lunch, while I watched a cloud shaped like a dolphin, war came. At first, just like a spattering of hail, a voice of thunder, then all smoke and fire and noise that I didn't understand. It came across the playground. It came into my teacher's face. It brought the roof down and turned my town to rubble. I can't say the words that tell you about the blackened hole that had been my home. All I can say is this: war took everything. War took everyone. I was ragged, bloody, all alone. I ran, rode in the back of trucks, in buses, walked over fields and roads and mountains, in the cold and mud and rain, on a boat that leaked and almost sank, and up a beach where babies lay face down in the sand. I ran until I couldn't run, until I reached a row of huts and found a corner with a dirty blanket and a door that rattled in the wind. But war had followed me. It was underneath my skin, behind my eyes, and in my dreams. It had taken possession of my heart. I walked and walked to try and drive war out of myself, to try and find a place it hadn't reached. But war was in the way that doors shut when I came down the street. It was in the way people didn't smile and turned away. I came to a school. I looked in through the window. They were learning all about volcanoes and drawing birds and singing. I went inside. My footsteps echoed in the hall. I pushed the door and faces turned towards me, but the teacher didn't smile. She said, "There's no room for you. You see, there's no chair for you to sit on. You have to go away." And then I understood that war had got here too. I turned around and went back to the hut, the corner and the blanket, and crawled inside. It seemed that war had taken all the world and all the people in it. The door banged. I thought it was the wind. But a child's voice spoke. "I brought you this," she said, "so you can come to school." It was a chair. a chair for me to sit on and learn about volcanoes, frogs, and singing, and drive the war out of my heart. She smiled and said, "My friends have brought theirs too, so all the children here can come to school." And out of every hut a child came, and we walked together on a road all lined with chairs, pushing back the war with every step. And in the complexities of this world that we live in, we are not without hope. So I would not want you to leave this morning with any hopelessness. Isaiah 42. "Here is my servant, says God, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law the islands will put their hope." And from Amos 5, "But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream." And from Isaiah 43, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, 'Give them up,' and to the south, 'Do not hold them back.' Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." From Ephesians 2, "For he himself, Christ, is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." And Revelation 7, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" And from Revelation 22, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not heed the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." And then Jesus says this to us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And the Apostle Paul says this about Jesus in Colossians 1, and this is our hope. "Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And I would like to invite you to together confess our faith, and I'd like to do so, ask you to stand. We're going to use this liturgy, and I didn't have time this morning to rework it. So what I'd like to ask you to do is the dark, not the Alleluia, but the blessed are the poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is theirs. That's your line, the bold line, and then I'll have the lines in between, and we'll do this responsively. So please go ahead and start. Blessed
are the poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is theirs.
The Lord keeps faith forever, secures justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets captives free.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is theirs.
The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord raises up those who were bowed down. The Lord loves the just. The Lord protects the strangers.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is theirs.
The fatherless and the widow the Lord sustains, but the way of the wicked he thwarts. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, through all generations. Alleluia. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And together we'll sing out of Psalter 268, Here I Am, Lord.